Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as I open your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds, Father, so that we can grow in knowledge, in grace and wisdom, to be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be able to do the work that you would call upon each one of us to do, Father. Now be with us throughout this study. And I'm asking this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're in the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians. The only three chapters. We're in the last one now. But it's short. We'll be going in to 1 Timothy. Now, here in verse 1, "And finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Now, we all need to be praying this kind of prayer and asking God to give us always the guidance that we need when we open up His Word to begin our study, so that we can see the truth of it and learn better how to walk, so that we are not easily deceived by those that are walking closer to Satan than they are to the Lord. And we have them all around us. Now, to, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not, well, we know that. In fact, when we come down to it, actually, very few men have faith to get anything done. Now, faith is what we all need to be working on. Because you see, there's two gifts that God gives to mankind that we need in order to be able to receive anything that God has given to us. And that is faith and love. And the two of them will work together. Now, we know that all men do not have faith. We know that. You see, for men have not faith, our Lord is faithful, and the unfaithfulness of man provides a contrast, actually, to the fullness of God. And a favorite topic of Paul's is about faith. And you know, when he's talking about evil or evil ones, he's actually giving you and I reference to Satan. And we find in his word, keep, when he uses that word keep, it means to guard. These we found right there in verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Are you walking that close to where the Lord is keeping you from evil and doing things that you should not be doing? You see, there comes a time in each one of our lives that if we become that born-again child of God, we even have the Holy Spirit there that will stop us from committing those evil things that we should not be doing. Now here in verse 4, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Now Paul is letting them know of his confidence in them, that they are listening and that they are eating and doing the things that he has commanded them in his teaching to do. Now, as long as they do that, they'll be walking in the right way, because Paul will not be teaching them anything that is contrary to the word of Almighty God. Because you see, Paul has let us know many, many, many times that it's not his teaching. It is the Lord's teaching through the Holy Spirit. And that's what we all need. And that's the way we should be sharing with others. We're not to share our opinions and our thoughts, but we are to share the word of Almighty God has the Spirit will give it to us as we are speaking to others. Now, 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now here again, he's speaking of you and I waiting on the coming of the Lord. When we look at the wording of this, we know that he is talking about his coming back to earth. Now, 6. Now we command you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. You know, Paul there letting them know to be serious about things, and when he tells them to withdraw, he means to disassociate. And this is the only time in the word that is used in the New Testament to mean church censure. A walk of disorderly indicates a pattern of life not in conformity to the word of God. You see, we're not to associate with everyone. Those that are really out here walking in evil, we are to leave them alone. Now, if they are in a company where we are, then our speech should always be from the Word of Almighty God. And maybe that will help them to begin thinking. But as far as associating with them to do the things that they are up to and doing, no. And when they will not straighten up, if they are coming to church, we are to get rid of them. That's what censure means, is to put them out. Now, 7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Paul is letting them know that they can follow them, him and those with him, because as he told them, we didn't walk disorderly among you or contrary to the word of God. No, because he's been teaching them the true gospel of Almighty God. And that is what our pastor should be doing today, and not leaving things out, and not adding to and taking away from things to make a nice, pretty story, to make everybody that's present happy. They are there, or should be there, teach the truth of God's word to help build that group into being a group that has pure that you don't have pure heart if you've got any evil at all. Paul goes on here and says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. He let them know we worked, we taken care of ourselves, and we have not been a burden to you. You've not had to take care of us. And it wasn't because they couldn't have, because they could have. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. You see, you have to work within the Word of God before others to be that example for them to follow, to want to be closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Think about that. Now, we know we have a lot of mankind that can't work. And those have to be taken care of. And those that are the children of God, God will see that they are cared for. He'll take care of them. He'll see to that. Now, those that are not, yes, we have to help. But those that are able to work and won't, we should not be giving them money to carry them through, for them just to keep sitting and doing nothing. No, and that's according to the word of Almighty God. Now, right there in verse 10. And Paul goes on here in 11 with this same and says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. In other words, they're into everything else, but yet they won't work. And good. Now, them that are such, those that can walk, work, and not, and won't, we command and exhort by our that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. In other words, eat their own food. But they are to work. 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well doing. He doesn't want them to be weary in the things they do that are helping others. Now, 14. And if any man obey not your word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, you see, letting them know, he's not talking about excommunicating this man, yet but what he is doing is Paul intends his readers to shame the brother who is not an enemy into obedience. You got a church member not doing the right things, then shun him for a while. Shaming in to walking in obedience, but do it with love and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Not just with your own thought, but let the Holy Spirit guide you. And do it through and by prayer. And then, you see, when things are done that way, things are done the right way. Now, 16. Now the Lord of peace himself gave you peace always, by all means. The Lord be with you all. Paul is signing out here in these last three verses, and he's letting them know and asking that the Lord be with them all. 17. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. Paul letting them know that he wrote this letter. It's in his own handwriting. Now, he ends this here in 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You see, now we have come to the end of 2 Thessalonians. And as I told you, our next is 1 Timothy. Now, Timothy is a spiritual son to Paul. He's not a blood son, but he's a spiritual son. And we know that Paul calls him son several times through the New Testament. But that's what it is. Now, here, in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Our hope. Now, of making heaven our home. 2, unto Timothy, my own son, in faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, he's letting you know right there that he's not his blood son. He is his son in faith, because Timothy was actually saved under Paul's ministry. And he has really stuck with Paul and worked with him in places where they were going. And he would always do what Paul would send him to do. And he'd go where Paul would send him to go. Here in verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine. You know, there's a whole lot there in that third verse that could be said. But you know, Paul is letting him know that you might command certain people not to teach other doctrines, nor to give heed to myths and endless genealogies. Timothy is to put an end to the teaching of false doctrines, which minister questions rather than godly edifying or answers. And they promote useless speculations rather than God's work. And attention given to the circulating false doctrine. Now, fables and genealogies. Pardon me a moment. Does not assist believers in carrying out responsibilities divinely entrusted to them, but gives rise to idle inquiries. You know, there is a lot to be learned, the truth of walking as a child of the living God. We are not to teach any other doctrine than this Bible. And we are to teach it the way it is written. A lot of people don't like it. They don't want to hear it. And they'll listen for a little while. Then they walk off. Because they don't want to just sit and listen to it. But you know what? They'll find themselves short one day when they step out of this life and into the next. When they stand before Him and they hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you." You see, we are to be His child. We are to put our faith in Him. Our trust is in Him. All of our needs comes through Him. Now, we know that everyone is not going to do this. We know that. Lord, pardon me. Now, verse 3 here. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia. You see, he was keeping Timothy here in one place while he goes to another. And he was keeping him there for this purpose of not letting them get into any other doctrine than what was being preached to them. Now, 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. You know, we could read verses 3 and 4 as follows, that you might command certain people not to teach other doctrines, nor to give heed to myths, endless genealogy. Timothy is to put an end to the teaching of false doctrine, which minister questions rather than godly answers for edifying, and they promote useless speculations rather than God's work. Attention given to the circulating of false doctrines, fables, and genealogies does not assist believers in carrying out responsibilities divinely entrusted to them, but gives rise to idle inquiries. You see, this is why we need to walk in the true gospel of this word, this holy book. And we don't need to be even playing around with this book. And a lot of them are doing that, too. And that's why we're getting so much in so many of our churches weeping, because they don't want to pick up the one book that has been used for years and years, that we know it works because we know what has happened down through the years. We know a lot about our older churches, and especially those of us that it's got some age on us, how they all taught this book, how they walked, how they believed, and that they all taught the same things and the same way. They all baptized the same way. They baptized in Jesus' name. You was baptized right. Now, they have many ways, different ways that they baptize. And you see the results of it, where it has done no good whatsoever, because they are not going by the word of Almighty God. But has mankind ever really stopped to think about this? No. Now, we're going to do a couple more verses here, and then we're going to preach for this morning. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfringed. You know, Timothy commands commandment of forbidding false teaching is not all negative. Its positive aim is to bring about true love in the spiritual evolution here. Genuine faith in Christ produces a clear conscience that is one cleared of offense before God by Jesus' atonement. And this in turn leads to a pure heart that is a life free of sin, and this brings about love for God and the others, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and our other brothers and sisters here on the earth. Now, 6, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. You know, there in 6, it says from which refers to verse 5, pure heart, clear conscience, and faith unfringed, because heretics have swerved or deviated from these practical virtues and daily living. They have turned aside unto vain jangling, fruitless discussions, and such talk is profitless, because it distracts from spiritual progress. You see, that is why God wants us to study His Word, to get it all, until we know how to walk with Him, with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, and with each other. 7, and then we're going to stop here. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They want to be teachers of the law, but they don't have the understanding of either what they are saying are of the things that they are affirming, because they don't have the truth of the gospel. They are making things their own way instead of God's way. And we're going to stop here for this morning. And may the Lord bring us all back together this evening at 6 p.m. and back into His Word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close Your Word, we thank You for this Word, Father. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do give thanks to those that come before us, Father, that has given us this word, such as Paul, Peter, John, those, Father, that You use to require and record this word, so that we can have it today, Father, to grow thereby, so that we can have a way, Father, of making heaven our home. And Father, we pray for Israel, for Jerusalem. We do pray for them to have peace. And we pray, Father, in all things and all ways, that is needed. But Father, the greatest need now is that they all will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, that turned its back and walked so far away, Father, I pray that the evil that is sitting in our higher offices of our government be removed and replaced with those, Father, that walk with you, that love you and love the Lord Jesus, loves the church, loves your people, and loves this country, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those that listens to this ministry, whether they listen while we are online and alive doing it, or whether they will download it and listen to it later, that, Father, that they are growing in knowledge, in love, in their love of you, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of your people. Father, help us all. We all have needs. Father, your word tells us that you supply our needs. We accept that, Father, because we know you say it, it's true. Now, Father, I pray for each and every family, because we all have family members that are not living rightly, that are walking in darkness. May the Holy Spirit work with them to help to get them out of darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, be with us now as we separate this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. This is my prayer this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great, great day.